All right, Acts 2, the whole of Acts 2.
Yes.
When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Be loud. Oh, great. where they were sitting, they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard the sound, the crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all of these men who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said they've had too much wine. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who are in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all the people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will see visions. Your young men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was the man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death,
amen.
Because it is impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body will also live in hope, because you will not abandon me in the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on the throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witness of this fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not descend to heaven, and yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number in that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to everyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved.
It was long, actually, wasn't it? It was longer than I realized. Sorry about that. But it's great just to hear the scriptures read, isn't it? And thank God for the scriptures. A well-known passage, isn't it? We know that well. But I wanted us to hear the whole thing because we're going to be drawing from that passage over the coming weeks, over this term. And in many ways, this term, we want to set out our stall, if you like, for the off the back of the changes that have been going on. Many of us have been through the mill somewhat, haven't we? And we had a very precious time on Friday, giving some space to reflect on that for those that wanted it. We've looked afresh at our shared purpose and our vision. We've communicated some of that. You've fed back to us. And over this term, we want to linger in that shared vision. We're going to do that in a number of ways. We're going to consider our shared purpose and what it means for how we live and do life together as Hub Church. We're going to try and be as practical as we can, trying to show how what we do lines up behind our purpose and our vision. We're going to experiment occasionally, and I touched on some of that last week, and we'll mention that again later on this afternoon, but experiment a little bit with what we do when we gather. We're going to repeat things from different angles, because we want to try and get this shared purpose, this shared vision, into our hearts, into our minds, that we grasp together what we think it is God is saying to us. Inevitably, obviously, it won't all be new. But hopefully it's refreshed for this season of our shared life. We've heard Acts 2 read, a well-known passage, but one I think helps us as we move forward this term. The first thing that shouts out to us from Acts 2 is that the church was birthed and shaped by the Spirit of God. We know the story, don't we? We know that in Acts 1, was one of those post-resurrection appearances where Jesus has met with the disciples. And in Acts 1, it's just before his ascension, before they finally see him depart this earth in human flesh. And at that moment, he gives the instruction that Luke has told us about in his gospel as well, to wait in Jerusalem for the Holy Spirit, also described as power from on high. They were gathering in the upper room of chapter 1 where they were meeting for prayer. And in Acts chapter 2, this moment happens where what Jesus has told them to wait for takes place. Bear in mind that they were probably somewhat disillusioned. Yes, they'd seen the resurrected Jesus and they saw him ascending. But even as they're watching him ascend in chapter 1, they don't fully grasp what is going on. And so there's this mixture probably in their minds of, he's kind of alive, but he's now going, and where are we left? What are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to get on with things? So it's probably mixed feelings, mixed emotions going on there. Don't really know what's going to happen. And at that moment, we get one of those wonderful suddenlies in the scriptures. Suddenly, the Spirit of God is poured out. Suddenly, they receive power. This is important for us as Hub because we count ourselves as a charismatic church. We expect the life of the Spirit, which includes for us both those suddenly moments when God does something perhaps unexpected, when he manifests his presence in a particular and peculiar at times way, But it also includes those moments of seeing the Spirit, sometimes imperceptibly, over time, changing us, transforming us, healing us, freeing us. All of that is the work of the Spirit. And even today, as we come to the beginning of this term and wanting to linger in our vision, I want to remind us to give space to pray for a fresh outpouring of the Spirit. In fact, let's do it. I was struck as we prayed beforehand how they were waiting in the upper room. And there was a sense as we, before the meeting, were in that back room of, we're waiting here, Lord, in this back room. We're waiting here, Holy Spirit, for you to fill us and to empower us. And you've already been at work in this gathering. And we just pray, Spirit of God, would you continue to do all that you want to do this afternoon? No limits. What do you want to do, Holy Spirit, individually and corporately? You know, if the rest of the meeting for you is spent engaging with the Holy Spirit, that's absolutely fine by me. But we want to give space for the Spirit. In Acts 2, in that Spirit moment, the outpouring was described in a way that included the expectation of dreams and visions and prophecy. Actually, I love the way Vicky read that. I don't know if you noticed, Vicky, that you said the young men have dreams. My version said the old men have dreams. So I've been getting more and more dreams. So I'm going to be in the young men category again. So I like that. Thank you. That was helpful. But there was this expectation that the Spirit would be active, speaking, moving. Funnily enough, I have been finding myself having quite a lot of dreams, either in those early hours in the morning or those waking moments. And I had one the other day, I think it was last week, maybe it was the beginning of this. And it was one of those dreams, do you ever get those dreams that are kind of recurring? And have I actually been there? Or is this a dream that keeps coming back? And you can't always quite remember whether it's true or not, can you? But this dream was moving into a pool of water. And it was one pool led to another pool, led to another pool. And you could swim and bask in this pool of water. And in the shallows, it was incredibly warm, incredibly comfortable. But you could swim through this pool of water down on the beach there into another pool that was getting deeper. And then getting deeper in another pool. And as you went into the different pools, so the water below the surface was cooler and colder, as it was at the lake in Ashburnham. But where were the fish? In the shallows, it was like there was one or two fish in this shallow pool where I was comfortable and it was warm. But as I started to go out into the deeper pools, so the schools of fish, the shoals of fish were found there. There's a sense of me having to go into places that were not as comfortable as the shallows. But in those deeper places, there was more fruit. There were more fish to be caught. Dream. I think it was God. But we believe in a God, don't we, who speaks. Yvonne came up to me during the meeting and I just asked her to pray for this. Picture of God wanting to fill empty milk bottles because he wants to fill us again. Picture of a bowl of fruit that God wants to give us fruit, make us fruitful again. God wants to speak to us, and we need to expect his voice. We believe in a God, don't we, who's present with us by his Holy Spirit. He intervenes, he changes things, he acts. We heard some of that last week, didn't we? As we shared testimonies together. And actually, we had one or two sent in to us as leaders by email or by electronically afterwards. But we heard testimonies of healing last week. Some of them have been quite instantaneous. Others we prayed for it was just a longer journey they were involved in. We heard testimonies of God journeying with people in challenging situations. We want to go on hearing testimonies of what is God doing in our lives, his goodness, his kindness, as they describe it in Acts, his wonders, speaking of the wonders of God. We want to be led by the Spirit, to make room for the Spirit and to enjoy the presence of the Spirit. This Acts 2 church was a church with purpose. You could look in Acts 1:8 and see its mandate. Verse 8 in Acts 1:8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." They were called to witness in the power of the Spirit across the whole known world. Let me say that again. They were called to witness in the power of the Spirit across the whole known world. And in many ways, we see that beginning right in Acts 2. As the Spirit is poured out and they speak in tongues, we read of Jewish speakers from the different languages that were known in the known world, hearing the wonders of God in their own tongues. There's more to come, as you know, in the book of Acts. But right there, as the Spirit is poured out, the many different languages hear the wonders of God. They were living out this purpose right from the off. And in many ways, our purpose is no different. It certainly fits within that. How can we better that biblical injunction given to that Acts church? We can't in many ways. But we have come up with our own way of putting it. In order to reflect on Hub specifically, where we might want to place emphasis, where we think God is speaking to us. And this is our purpose. You'll have seen something like it before. We want to be a welcoming, diverse church family, introducing people to Jesus and seeing lives transformed. In many ways, that falls out of Acts, and particularly out of Acts chapter 2. But of course, it can be found in many places in the Scripture. We've got a sheet you can take away with you today, so don't worry about copying it down. There's a sheet you can take away which has some more of our vision unpacked on it. But today, I just want to focus on this part of it. To be a welcoming, diverse church family, introducing people to Jesus, seeing lives transformed. So let's look a little closer at this Acts 2 church. It was a diverse church. It was a church whose message reached many different languages. Yes, at its beginning through the supernatural work of the Spirit as they spoke in tongues. But it was a church of diversity at its inception. Let me remind you, verse 5, it said there were many staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Verse 11, both Jews and converts to Judaism heard them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. I want to linger there. In their own languages. It was a diverse church. God has not called us to be an ethnocentric church. He's called us to be a diverse church. We want to continue as we began to work with, to reach out to those in our town, those who are settled in our town from other nations and maybe have got their citizenship or working for their citizenship, those who are passing through our town, maybe they're refugees or asylum seekers. We want to play our part in reaching those people who speak in different languages to many of us to welcome them with the welcome of God. We do believe that is part of what God's put into the heart of us as Hub Community Church. It's where we began, and it remains on our hearts, and we believe that is part of our purpose. So there will be times when we use different languages. We have it on our welcome sheet, a list of different welcomes in different languages. We have, I think, in the past, had some songs in different languages as well. We are considering how do we use electronic aids to help those who don't have English as their first language to better engage with what is predominantly sung and spoken in English. So we will take time to do that, to use different languages. We are enriched by the worldwide body. We learn from other cultures. listen to this very carefully. Our English culture does not equal the kingdom of God. Case we were mistaken. We have our ways, but so do many others. I still remember engaging with Farai. Many of you know Farai. He was part of us in Hub Church on the leadership team when we began Hub Church. I remember in East Church prior to Hub, he was part of our church there. And I remember there was a lady who, and I won't give the name, some of you will know, there was a lady who was going through cancer and God chose to take her home. And we'd prayed for probably, I don't know, maybe a couple of years, I can't quite remember. And we as good English folk, when this man's wife died, said, give the man some space. Let's not all rush around his house and invade him. And that was probably the right thing to do for our context. But that caused Farai such difficulty. Why? Because he had prayed and prayed and prayed for this woman. And in his culture, when the person dies, the first thing you do is rush round and fill the house, probably fill it with food and all sorts of other stuff. And so for him, even I forget how much longer, he would still go to me, I'm still feel guilty that I did not go round. And yet we at the front have gone, don't go round, give us some space. Can you see? I'm not saying what's right or wrong there, but I'm saying there's perspectives on how we do things as church that we are enriched by engaging with a diverse community and learning from one another. I think of a Kenyan guy who came and spoke at one of our churches on one occasion. And I remember him saying to me, and actually I think he was speaking about King's Bible College actually, which one of King's Bible College's themes and emphases, and that's a Bible college that's been connected with our network of churches for many years, and they would stress community and learning in community. Absolutely. But this Kenyan guy would go to me, you guys know nothing about community. Probably because he'd grown up in a village where literally, I know you attested to this, but the whole village does raise the child. We lean into that a little bit and we acknowledge the need for the church community, but they probably live it in a far different way. We are challenged and we learn by hearing this Kenyan perspective. So I want to leave you with a challenge. We don't want to be a church that just doffs our cap to different languages and cultures and nations. But we want to see an integration of all kinds of understandings of what does it mean to be God's people? What might it look like over here? And you know, if you've done any study of the scripture, that when you understand the culture of what some of these scriptural passages mean, you understand so much better what God is saying. And there are some cultures where some of their practices are probably closer to the biblical norm than ours. So we need to engage and learn. And many of you are involved in specific ways. I get that. That's fantastic. But we can all be involved in heart and in reaching out when people from other cultures and nations come in through our doors, whether it's for coffee or for church meetings or for celebrations. We can all be involved in that. Do you know someone from a different culture? Maybe someone here. It may be someone elsewhere, at work, a neighbor. Can I challenge you to go and find out something that you don't know about their culture? Maybe you could ask them, how do they celebrate special occasions? Maybe if you feel appropriate and you know them well enough, you can ask them, how do you mourn and grieve in your culture? Maybe you could ask them, what do you think we as an English culture could learn from your culture? What do you miss that we don't do? Because we want to learn together. And English or English culture is not equal the kingdom of God. So we want to be a diverse church. We also want to be a proclaiming church. In Acts 2, we see them proclaiming. In Acts 2, firstly, they're proclaiming as they spoke in tongues. It says they were declaring what? The wonders of God in a way that was understood. Just notice that little phrase. Everybody could understand in their own languages. It was a communication method in a way that enables the people hearing to understand. What does that mean for us? But secondly, in Acts 2, when Peter stands And what does he do? He proclaims the story of Jesus. He tells the story, the narrative of Jesus. He speaks Jesus to these people. And 3,000 people are added to the church. If only we could see that. That'd be quite amazing, wouldn't it? We want to be, obviously, but we want to say it. We want to be a church that proclaims the gospel. We want to make room for it. We want to give expression to it. We want to grow in it. You know, it's part of the legacy that Andy has left with us, isn't it? Andy wants us to be gospel proclaimers, and we still believe it and want to move into the good of that. And we want to do it in ways that are understood. Those of you who were here last week will have heard me talk about that on September the 22nd, we're going to do an experimental Sunday. Let me paint the picture for you again. We're going to have the worship hour going in here in that kind of style. There'll be worship going on. There'll be some, obviously some of us in the congregation just enjoying the presence of God in that way. Why? Because we want to worship God, but also so often those who are on the door know that as people go past these doors, sometimes they'll look in, sometimes they'll come in. What attracts them is the sound of people worshiping God. We want to create that setting. But in addition to that, we want to have a table, and depending on the weather, we'll depend on how far out into the pedestrian area it is. It might be just under the foyer if it's pouring down with rain, but we want to have some tables out there where we can offer different things, whether it's just a Why Jesus booklet or an Alpha invitation. We're going to try and get some Why Jesus in different languages. We also want to be able and out there to offer prayer to people and to see what God wants to do. We're going to try and have some clothes available so that if we do see some refugees going by, we are equipped to be able to respond to them as they walk past. We don't know what will happen, but pray. Pray. We want to have the coffee running throughout the whole of the meeting so that if people come by us or we get talking to them, we can invite them in for coffee and refreshments into the foyer right from the start. So we need people who are manning the coffee rota there. And we've got some, but if you want to be part of that, please, I think, speak to Ray about that. If you want to make cakes, then please let us know because we'd like to have some refreshments as well. But it's a thing for all of us as the church to take part, to experiment. We don't all need to be out on the streets because we need some worshippers. We need a band. We need some people doing the coffee. We need some people talking. We need some people ready to pray. If you find something stirring in you that may not be comfortable, it might be God prodding you to move out of the shallow pool into a slightly deeper one, then talk to us and say, I'd like to have a go at this. I'd like to step out. Can I come alongside anyone and learn to do it on the job? Robin's going to have some people to pray in the way that they do with the kind of HOTS thing on a Saturday sometimes. We're going to try and give that opportunity. If you want to be part of that, speak to Robin. If you want to engage just with talking with people, come and speak to me because we want to have some people ready to greet and welcome. We want to be a church that is about proclaiming the gospel and seeing lives changed. And we want to keep encouraging it, and we want to keep training ourselves towards it. And we want to be a family church. It's a spirit, in Acts 2, it's a spirit-birthed family. Let me say very clearly, it is not a legislated, enforced family. It's a spirit-birthed family. And so what we read of some of the things that go on in Acts 2, we do not enforce. We allow the Spirit to birth something in our hearts, in our minds, in our spirits, that He wants us to live out. And so we don't just copy in an enforced, legislated way, but we allow the Spirit to birth family. You know, families make room for one another. Penny liked that one. It wasn't a joke, Penny. Oh, she's just moved in, hasn't she? There you go. Penny's just made room for her daughter. Families make room for each other. The mad uncles, the mad aunties, the eccentrics, the different people, the ones who get on our nerves, the ones who don't get on our nerves, the ones who are quiet, the ones who are loud. We make room. We're all thinking who they are now, aren't we? And this family is a family that belongs to Him. were described in Acts 1 by Jesus. He says, you will be my witnesses. We are his family first and foremost, and so he will shape it and birth it as he wills, as he pours his spirit into our hearts and minds. But we're also a family that belongs to one another. And we see in Acts 2 this family being lived out as they gathered together regularly, as they learned together, as they cared for one another, as they worshiped together in prayer, as they broke bread and praised together. As we do this, as we are family together, we are transformed and we become transforming. As God transforms us by his Spirit, not enforced, so God's life flows through us to transform others and see others transformed. And as we're family, we want to be an all-age family. We want to recognize what we already are. We are young and old, and some of us in between. We want to sow to the youth and the children as we have been. We want to continue to do that. We want to care for one another as we age. It's why we have brunches and socials and camps and Molsanger. Why we do these things, because we want to care for the whole family and make provision for the whole family. It's why we grow in the Word and stand with each other in small groups, and we want to continue to sow to that and maybe in an improved way. This Acts community was a Spirit-inspired community. It lived this out in public and it saw daily salvation. We want to demonstrate, to live out. It's partly why we want these doors open. It's partly why we want to get out on the streets to demonstrate something of what does it mean to be the people of God. Now, we understand it doesn't all happen on a Sunday, but together we can be focused if we participate in this together. As any family, we have and we will get it wrong. I will upset you for one, but we will upset each other. But in families, we learn to forgive. We learn to let go. We learn to repent. We learn to say sorry. We learn to grieve together. We learn to lament together. And we did some of that on Friday. So as the Spirit works in the Hub family, we will be changed. Our hearts will be softened and molded. Our generosity will increase. And as we're transformed, we'll be that prophetic demonstration to the world of what it means to be part of the people of God. What did you call that song? A worm, an earworm. I think I had one of those maybe this week. I've been listening to Wren Collective. You're not finished with me yet. Isn't that good news? I mean, if he's finished with me, he presumably will take me home. You're not finished with me yet. And God isn't finished with us as Hub Community Church yet. There's more that he wants to do. And we want to try to this term to linger together and try to be as practical as we can as to what that looks like and what that means. We're going to dip into what we've called our mission and emphases over the forthcoming weeks and months. Today really was trying to get into the purpose, the why. Why do we exist? What are we about? And it flows right out of that New Testament passage that we've just read. Our mission and emphasis as we come to them would describe more the what or the how of our existence. I've touched on some of that, but there's more of that to come. But we're working hard to align our practices, our behavior, our plans in light of our purpose. We'll be looking at welcoming. We'll be looking at proclamation. We'll be looking at transformation. We'll be looking at family. We will experiment and try things, and we will review those things. We will expect Spirit-inspired moments, Spirit-inspired contribution, and Spirit-inspired transformation. And at the end of the term, well, we're inviting some folks to come and be part of a Spirit-empowered commissioning for us, that we want to be commissioned to live this out. But even today, we've done some of this already. I want to just encourage us. Maybe the band want to come up. You know, if I just carry on. Maybe the band just want to come up. But we see in Acts 2 how this church, at its inception, was a church birthed by the Spirit of God. And I want to just encourage us to together call out for the Spirit of God. So if you're able to stand, please join me. And I don't quite know how we're going to do this, and we'll work it out as we feel led together. But this has got to be, at its inception, something about the Spirit, and its commissioning has got to be about the Spirit. It's topped and it's tailed, and it's run right through by the Spirit of God. So let's just spend a bit of time. If you guys just want to play, let's just open our hearts. We've already had some wonderful times just praying for one another this afternoon. But Holy Spirit, as you turn a page for us, as Hub, you haven't ripped the other chapters out. We might flick back and have a look at them from time to time. We might need to read a chapter again and work through some things that have gone on in previous chapters. That's fine, folks. But God, as you turn a page for us together, we pray this chapter will begin by welcoming you, Father, Son, Spirit. And we do. We do welcome you. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are the one who works in us and fills us. And we are like those empty bottles that Yvonne spoke of that need to be filled by you, Holy Spirit. And so we invite you. Just do it in your own hearts. You can do it out loud. Do whatever you want to do. But if you want to somehow say to God, I want to be filled afresh by your Spirit, we ask you, Spirit of God, to birth something in our midst together that turns a page, that takes us into a new chapter, that is full of your life and your vitality. And the Holy Spirit is full of the wonders of Jesus in our life individually and our life together. Full of the wonders of Jesus, of who you are and what you're about and what you're doing. And we'd see salvation, and we'd see people bending the knee, and we'd see people set free, and we'd see those infected by demonic activity cleansed, and we'd see the sick healed, and we'd see your name glorified, Jesus. So, Lord, we can't do that, but we cry out, Holy Spirit, come and fill this place and fill us as vessels of yours. As temples made in the image of God that can only live if they're full of the Spirit of God. We need you, Holy Spirit. We cry out to you. Fill us. Fill us afresh. Fill us afresh, Holy Spirit.